The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I had something that I was going to do, but I just feel like I want to speak from the heart this morning. Susie and I just got back from the Bahamas. We were about 8 days on a 42-foot sailing vessel, a yacht that my oldest son owns. Kind of funny, he's a pilot for Delta Airlines. And a lot of pilots like to sail because it's kind of the same concept, except instead of having horizontal wings, you have a vertical wing, or in this case, three of them on the sailing vessel that we were on. And it was really quite an experience. It was fun. I mean, how many people have been on your own private yacht island hopping in the Bahamas? Really? Oh, you poor people. Can I just rub it in a little? You know, when Susie and I go on vacation, most of the time, I feel like I'm on vacation. Can I say that? You know, I know, pastoring and I have stuff, but it's almost harder to go on vacation than it is to just kick back and relax in life. And this trip was a little bit hard for us to go on, just initially. And I suppose a lot of it's just getting out of the groove of where you're at and being busy with the things that you're doing and. But yet we went on vacation on my son's sailboat. And I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, we kind of knew that what we were going to be doing. And the Bahamas are absolutely beautiful. They're gorgeous. If you've been on a sailing vessel or a cruise vessel and you stopped at Nassau and you think you've been in the Bahamas, well, I hate to disappoint you. But really, this is just an incredible, vast row and stream. Actually, what they are is they're mountains. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they're actually mountains. It's just that most of the mountain is in the sea, and what you see are the mountaintops all strung along. And found a really unique community of people. The sailing people are very a close-knit people. Everybody's known by their boat's name. Everybody's known by the vessel that's carrying them. In our case, we were Windbird. That's the name of my son's boat, Windbird. And so whenever we'd hail somebody on the radio, we'd say, Texas Two-Step, Texas Two-Step, this is Windbird calling. And then you'd talk that way until you got hailed, and then you'd go to a different channel, and then you'd use your names, you know. But we were Windbird, and we were known as Windbird. That was the vessel that was carrying us. And it was amazing how many people, Sam and Dawn, my son and daughter-in-law, and their dog Piper, by the way, it was amazing how many people they had encountered through sailing. You know, we're studying. I've been preaching the last few times that I've been preaching, and I would have preached it today, but I just couldn't go there. We're talking about unity and how a common experience can bring a common unity. In other words, when you've been through something or if you are doing something, for instance, as a carpenter, I could connect with carpenters real quick. When I did in another lifetime ago, I did about 25 years of being a carpenter, and I could just talk trade, I could talk shop, I could talk, what it looks like and how that works, and it was really easy, and so I had a real quick connect. In the sailing community, all these people just have a really quick connect. And they're really just a gracious bunch of people. I mean, if anybody would ever be broken down, you'd have several people there within moments to help out. And they're really a neat, neat bunch of people. They're all skinny. I didn't fit in real well that way. They're all skinny because they work really hard on these vessels. I mean, sailing's a lot of work. And there just isn't a lot of food. And the food that you do get, you have to buy. And it's very, very expensive. And so they're all skinny, And And they fed me very, very well, probably more than I needed to be fed, but still, you know, you just realize that this is a different lifestyle. Water is very precious. You're surrounded by water, and yet fresh water is very, very rare. In fact, you either have to take it on, you pay 40 cents a gallon at the dock to put it in your storage tanks, or my son has a desalinization pump on his boat that would take and pump it through a filter, and we could make 3.5 to 4 gallons an hour of water. But the filter they pump it through, you get about 700 gallons of water out of it, and the filter costs between $700 and $800. So you're paying $1 a gallon for water. You know, and so showers were non-existent. We did do some snorkeling, all right. And we did some stuff like that. But it's really it's a different lifestyle. But I found something to be common with the different people that I met, that I encountered on that trip. It felt to me like they were all the people that were running and going after something that was trying to fill something in their heart that they didn't know what it was. Now, I know that's a very, very broad statement, but it's a statement I understand. Before I was saved, before I knew Jesus, my God was traveling. I mean, I would just get in my old panel van, and we had just run, and we went from the West Coast to the East Coast, usually in 1 year, you know. It was like a weekend thing to go out to the Black Hills and party. And I do that 2 or 3 times a year. We had been down into the Baja, Mexico, up into the Canadian Rockies, into Vancouver, and down into the Southeast. And in fact, it was my goal to see 40 of the 50 states before, and Alaska, before I got married. And then Jesus interrupted things. However, I had seen about 32 of the states, most everything west of the Mississippi, because of this relentless thing that was in my heart that I wanted to know. There was this void in my life that I was trying to fulfill. And you know, you see creation, and creation is always testifying of the glory of God. Amen. Creation revealed God to me. And there was something in creation that I wanted, and the only way I knew to get it was to pursue it and to run. And just, if I can just get around that next bend in the road and see another blast of beauty in the mountains. Yeah. Or if I could just drive another place and hear the roar of the ocean and lay on the ocean beach for all night, you know, just sleep on the ocean beach. And or if I could just climb this mountain, you know, that I climbed in Alaska and got up to the top, and I stood up there and I'd look across the top mountain peaks that were still snow covered, and you know that song that we have, A Purple Mountain Majesty, and there was a purple hue, and it wasn't the drugs that I was doing, it was a purple hue over all there was this purple hue over all the mountain peaks, and it was beautiful, it was fascinating. And that time I had just gotten saved, but all of the other times I didn't know Jesus. I was pursuing this hole in my heart, and I felt like these people that are on the ocean are seeing incredible things, the majesty of the waters. I want to read a scripture real quickly here. Psalm 107, verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord. Think of that. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord. They see the works. The Bahamas have two sides. There's the one side that's called the Banks. And the Banks, for many, many miles, the deepest it gets is 30 feet, you know, 20 to 30 feet. And then the shallows, you know, there's places where you try to sail and you got to go into ports, into little cubbies where you can get out of the wind and where you can set anchor. And there's some places where it's maybe 20 feet wide. And you got to hit this right, because on one side is a sandbar, on the other side is a mountain. It's all underwater, okay? There's a cliff, but it's underwater, and you can't see it. Now, Sam's a pilot, and he knows how to work his instruments. He flies 767, 757, so he's got the latest and the greatest radar equipment and everything. He has the same stuff on his boat. Probably not quite as elaborate, but very, very good. And as long as he keeps his boat on the dotted line in and out of these bays, he's okay. But he'd always have to have somebody up on front just making sure and looking and watching. And you have the banks are these shallow places that you could sail in relative calmness. And then you have the other side of the Bahamas, which is the Sound. And that was kind of the ocean part from on that side, it's you head east. And you go thousands of miles without seeing any land. And the funny thing is, you go about a mile from the Bahamas, the islands, and about a mile, there's a drop-off. And you could see it in his instruments. You know, you go from 100 feet to 150 feet to 250 feet. At 450 feet, his lines went blank. But I could see by his charts, the waters there were 2,500 feet deep. Wow. You know, and so we're sailing. And I found that this relentlessness, this something about the ocean that was so intriguing. One night, we did one night sail where for 8.5 hours, we wanted to start at 2 o'clock in the morning. See, the ocean rules you. You don't rule the ocean. And the winds rule you. You don't rule the winds. And so you had to make sure that the winds were right, and then you had to make sure that the tides were right, because some of the places we went into at low tide, we'd never be able to get into. We had to go in at high tide. So we had to leave at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we had to sail kind of slow because we would have gotten to the next port a little bit too early for the tides and all this stuff. So the transition, the cuts in between the islands. Have you ever heard Jack Frost speak on the Waters of Transition? Great CD. And he was a sailor. He was a fisherman. He understood the turmoil that happens in between the transition from, in this case, the banks and the Sound. And so it's 2 o'clock in the morning. We got up at 2, anchors up at 2:30, and we're sailing out through these really tricky waters. And Don is up front with a spotlight, making sure that he's doing okay. But we got into the Waters of Transition a little bit too soon. And Don was in the front. Now, they have a rule that at night, you're always strapped in. You're tethered in. She didn't do that. And in a matter of moments, we went from relatively smooth waters to where we were doing this. And then this. I'm looking at her, and she's way up there. I'm sitting in the cabin, you know, and man, the bow of the boat is up like this on a wave, and next thing you know, it's going down like this, and there's, you know, water spraying over the front, and Sam's trying to talk to her, but I just came to realize she's hanging on for dear life, and she did finally get a hold of the radio and say, "I'm just holding on for dear life, that's it," you know, and Sam felt horrible because we were committed. Once you're in the waters of transition, you're committed, and those waters don't rule them, they rule you. And there's nothing we could do except hold on for dear life. And Dawn is holding on for dear life. We got through the Waters of Transition out to the Sound, and the Sound is a little bit different than the banks. The banks have these fairly shallow, nice waves, you know, just nice sailing. Just, you know. Actually, Susie woke up last night, and she said, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt like I was on the boat again. That happened to me for the two nights before. You don't lose that. Something weird goes on inside your body, or we're still feeling like we're on the boat. We were on there for 8 days. But we got out into the Sound, and the waves were considerably bigger, but they were nice. And, you know, we motored out to the Sound, but then we were going to hoist the sails. Why do we want to hoist the sails? Because on the waters, on a sailboat, the sail will actually bring stability to the boat. In other words, instead of the boat going up like this one side of the wave and down like this on the other side of the wave, because the waves are kind of broadside, instead of going like this and then tilting and going like this, because you have the sail up and you'd be leaned, you'd go up like this and down like this, okay? And so it just brought stability. And I'll tell you, there was something so incredible about these, you know, they weren't massive waves. We knew that the weather was going to be okay for passage, but they were pretty darn big, probably 6 or 8 feet swells, which when you're doing this, Susie fed the fish. That's a sailor terminology. I'll leave it to your imagination. But there was something just beautiful. There's something fascinating. There's something lonely and something in solitude and something in just majesty when you had the stars out and the sun or the moon is glancing off the water and you're doing this on the water and the sails are up and they're catching wind. And something really beautiful about that. And I understood how people would use this to try to fill the hole in their heart. They'd want to go and they'd want to try to fill the hole in their heart. We encountered some people. We'd go from island to island and we'd walk and we'd look at the islands. There was one place that we went, we had heard it was a really good place to eat. And it was on an island. You can't get there anyway but by a boat. They might have had an airstrip, not sure. And we heard about this restaurant, and it was a native Bahamian who ran the restaurant. We heard it was good. So we went there. And as we got talking, and he was just a really neat guy, really a genuine guy, you know, a Bahamian. And he had been all over the world. He had spent time in Africa. He had traveled. But he had decided that in the end of his days, he wanted to settle back where he came from, this little bitty fishing village, this little bitty island out in the middle of the ocean somewhere. And he realized that everything out there that he was looking for wasn't there. It was there. It was back home where he wanted to be. And we got to talking to him a little bit. So he asked, "What do you do?" I'm a pastor. And he said, "Oh, okay." Found out that he was Muslim. And he was a very outspoken man. He was one of these guys that, you knew you didn't, I didn't need to witness to him because there wouldn't have been a word edgewise to get in. And that's okay. He was very, very gentle, a knowledgeable, a smart guy. He had a great heart. He was a writer. He knew the power of the pen, and he was doing some good in the islands and in protecting the environment of the Bahamas and the different parks there and stuff. And when I did get a time to talk, I just said, you know, well, I believe, and I told him, I believe in the virgin birth, and I believe, you know, and I didn't know where he was at, so I just went right from the very, very foundations. Virgin birth, Jesus had to die for our sins. And, you know, as I was talking, it felt like it was just dryness coming out of my mouth. You know, I was hoping that if I just started saying something, Holy Spirit would just come and blow a strong wind, and the guy had just fallen repentance, get saved. It didn't happen that way. Actually, I felt really, really dry. And I didn't get to say too much. It felt like the spirit of intellectualism would just laugh at what I believed. So we sailed from there and we moved on. We got down to the final place, our final destination. And for 2 days, I was beaten up by the enemy. I encountered something on the seas that I guess I've encountered before, but not in the degree that I was encountering it. There was actually a spirit of unbelief. There was a demonic spirit of unbelief. This demonic spirit was speaking to me, and this demonic spirit was saying, "You should have been more powerful when you're witnessing to that guy. You didn't even believe what you were saying when you said it. Dave, you shouldn't even be pastoring. Dave, you should be, you know, you lived this stuff. How come it didn't work for you?" And I was being barraged by this. And for a couple of days, and you know, you battle that stuff. I know it's not true. But I'll tell you where I got the breakthrough. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, which I usually wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't know, that's just the time that I get up for a little while and go hang out with God. And we were sleeping down in the bow of the boat, beautiful berth down there. And I'd go up into the captain's place there where you sail the boat from. And I'd lay up there, and I'd look at the lights, and I'd look at the stars, and the only thing I could do, because that thing was still harassing me, I believe God was giving me a compassion for the people. This is what they are encountering as they're trying to fill the void in their spirit. What they're encountering is the spirit of unbelief, that this stuff is silly. A virgin birth? Come on. Really? Sin? What do you mean die for your sin? We're all basically good people. What are you talking about? There's a lot of roads to Jesus. There's a lot of roads to heaven. And the spirit of unbelief comes with an intellectual spirit that doesn't allow you to break through. But for me, what I had to do as I'm pondering all this, as I'm just living all this, as I'm just seeing all these things, I had to just start quoting the scriptures that I know. Amen. I didn't feel like it. That spirit of unbelief was telling me, yeah, you know them, but they don't mean anything to you. I started quoting the scriptures. He became sin who knew no sin, so that I could become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Having a boldness to enter that holy place through a new and a living way, through the blood of Jesus. I want to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in my time of need. I am the accepted in the beloved. Heaven is my destination. Heaven is my home. I live in the kingdom of heaven now. And God, you're all around me. I didn't realize the significance of that time till I got home. And when I got back here to this place that I love so much, and we were doing a Bible study, and it just hit me. It all hit me how significantly God met me on that sailboat. Gave me such a compassion for people who are just sailing life, facing and braving the waters of transition or the waves in the ocean. And yet the most difficult place for a courageous man to sail is into the depth of their own heart. Just came to realize that the reason some people will sail looking for to fulfill the hole in their heart, and creation will do one of two things. It will lead you to the Creator, or it will become a God for you. And for me, I remember when creation led me to the Savior. But I was so aware of a people that were on this journey. I mean, you got to be patient on a sailboat. You know what I mean? You're on Sam's boat, top cruising speed is going to be between 7 and 8 knots an hour. Well, that's maybe 9 miles an hour. You're going a long ways, you know. To go 35 miles, you're talking, or 35, 36 knots, you're talking at minimum 4 hours. You got a lot of time just to think and to ponder. Of course, you fill that time with adjusting the sails. Oh, the winds have died. We need to hoist another sail. Well, gee, I wonder if we should hoist that third sail, or oh, the wind's picked up again, and we're going again. And there's always these decisions to make, and you just see the majesty in snorkeling. You know, when you get in these holes, there's a place called the sanctuary, and it's a hole on one of the islands, and you dive down there, and you've got these incredible just plants and coral and fish, every kind of fish, from bright, bright blue to dull grays to big fish to little fish to stingrays. And you just poke your head under the water, and you see a totally different world. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The whole earth is showing forth his handiworks. I tell you, when it comes right down to it, the simpler my faith becomes, the more profound my faith becomes. I can travel the world over and I can see those things. But the magnificence of the oceans, the magnificence of under the oceans, in the waters, they really serve to testify of the Creator. I don't know, we sail through life, right? Everybody, we're on a journey. Many of us are sailing to try to fill a hole in our heart. And many of us are sailing right past the answer. I just want to encourage you. Jesus said this, if you seek me, you will find me. Your difficult circumstances that you're in, the waters of transition that you're in, if you seek me, you will find me. In the doldrums where the wind doesn't seem to be blowing very much, if you seek me, put up another sail. Put up the spinnaker. That's the one that really catches the wind. If you seek me, you will find me. Can I encourage you this morning in the love of God? Can I encourage you in your journey, wherever you're going, wherever you're sailing, whatever part of the journey that you're on, to know him? When it's really dull, when there's no wind at all, no wind of the Spirit, we had to fire up the Yanmar diesel engines, or engine, I should say, it's one. And that's what got us in and out of the banks and through all the really difficult stuff. That's, you know, it's like the Yanmar engine is the things that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. And when it's fearful out there and when I'm in confusion, when I'm in the waters of transition, I want to hunker down into the Yanmar engine, that which I know. That's when I start quoting the scriptures over myself. That's when I start speaking the word of God, the revelation that God's given me. That's when I start speaking those things that I know to be true over myself. But you know, we're not meant to live there. There comes a time when you realize that the wind is favorable and it's blowing in the right direction. And if you don't hoist your sails and dare to catch the wind of the Spirit, then you're going to see the Yanmar engine's only a 53 horsepower engine on that boat. That's a lot of boat to run through waves and everything. And it's not very fast, maybe 3 knots. And you realize that you can go just by sailing on the Yanmar engine, but you also understand that there's a wind to catch, that there's a wind of the Spirit that is blowing. And we need to know how to set the sail. We need to know how to adjust the sails. And we need to know when we need another sail to help us to sail in that journey. I got so much more I could tell you about the trip, but bottom line is this. Jesus longs to be found by you. In whatever circumstance you're in, whatever thing you're going through, whatever level of Christianity you're in, wherever your faith is at, Jesus longs to be found by you. Kind of funny, I came back here to church. To what I know, and to what's so familiar, to what I'm so secure in. I started to ask myself this question, why would I want to travel? What are you guys crazy enough to go out on these mission trips about? What is up with that? Being harassed in airports and airplanes and trains and, you know, in the uncertainty of it all. And this is a great home port. I love this place. I love you as a people. I love what God's doing here. It's home. But I know this, until we've been sailing, until we've been out and seen some things, until we've taken some risk, you will never know what you have at home. So I just celebrate. I celebrate the worship we have this morning. I celebrate worshiping Jesus with a bunch of people that are these Jesus freaks and just crazy in love with Jesus that know what they've been delivered from and set free.
Amen.
It's just good to be home. Let's stand together. Thank you for allowing me to just kind of, I don't know, I guess when things are fresh in your heart, it'd be a mistake to try to do something that is good, but just place your hand on your heart if you would. I believe this is a season. In fact, I want to prophesy a word this morning. This is a season, says the Lord, where I am sailing the seas of men's hearts. This is a season where I am watching over my people. I'm watching over their hearts. This is a season where I'm challenging and opening the seas of your hearts into a new voyage, the voyage of my spirit, to come inside, to examine, to challenge, to encourage, to strengthen the things that I have placed in your hearts from before the foundation of the earth. This is a season, says the Lord, where those who will dare to hoist the sails to catch the wind of my spirit are going to do great exploits. This is a season, says the Lord, where I am calling a people into the loneliness of a journey, that it might be just you. It might be in the loneliness of a nighttime on high seas, but this is a time, says the Lord, where you will find me. As you take risk, as you set sail, as you take a step out of the boat, know this, that you will find me, says the Lord. And know this, that my promises are true, my promises are faithful. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, says the Lord. But I delight to sail with you in this journey. So, Father, we thank you that that's your heart. That's just who you are. I pray your blessing and your encouragement upon this body today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have some teams up here. If you need prayer for something, come on up. If you need some healing, if you need encouragement, whatever you need, we've got several teams up here. There's coffee out in the lobby. Love on somebody. Give somebody a hug. And bless you.